I'm Izzy Rock, host of Tales from the Hard Side podcast, and you're listening to the Bad Parenting Podcast. Go rate, review, and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher.
Warning, the following auditory experience may contain themes of an adult nature. The opinions expressed are those of the podcasters and not of their respective employers, parents, and or legal guardians. Content may not be appropriate for children, small animals, work, and your mom. Enjoy the show. Diabetes.
Fucking pussy babies need to toughen the fuck up.
Of course, devil stopped.
I do like that.
Oh my fucking god, I shit myself.
Was I supposed to do show prep?
This could be a while.
Cafe smash.
Bad Parenting Podcast. We're all up in your mom.
I always swore I'd never beat my children.
I'm drinking some milk, bitches.
We had government cheese. Now I know why nothing ever gets done in Hollywood.
Oh, awesome.
If only you could see the glare.
Hey, I'm Justin. No, that doesn't work either.
Oh my god, the smell. I hope you're ready for a clusterfuck of epic proportions.
Love your children while keeping your sanity. This is the Bad Parenting Podcast.
Yes, welcome to episode 125 of Bad Parenting Podcast. I'm Justin.
I'm Jody.
And I think this makes 3 weeks in a row in the new house, and we haven't fucked up the recording schedule.
True dat. And yeah. I noticed, and I'm going to jinx it, you have not been fucking up on the first intro lately.
This is true. I've been like...
You've been able to...
Yes, but I think the payback for that, or the other side of that coin, the converse edge of that, is that I can't stop saying MySpace.
Yes.
So... I get the intro right, but I want to do MySpace at the end. But it's paid off because I got Mr. Tomorrow from the Meteor Show to totally drop MySpace.
I couldn't contain it. I laughed awesome. So fucking hard.
So did I. I laughed heartily on that one.
Not just because he did it, because that alone is not... But then he instantly knew it was your fault.
Yeah, he just goes, God damn it. That was great.
It was great.
Well, and you know, to make it true... We now have a MySpace page for the podcast. I haven't finished setting it up yet, but it's going to go into the, it'll be on, that place is, I logged into it.
It's like, scary.
No, it's not. It's just ridiculous how relevant they're trying to be. And it's like, you guys, you lost it 7 years ago, you know, or more. It's since my, or Facebook, see, I did it again. Since Facebook launched, you guys haven't been relevant at all. And they're trying to be more like a, like almost like a SoundCloud. Like they're going to, we're going to hit the artists. We're going to be, you know. Whatever, and I'm like, no, you're not. Especially since you're the background picture they want you to have, they want it to be an 800 by 600 pixels, which that hasn't been a proper resolution since like 1999.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's like,
wow,
yeah. What backwards, you know, aged, like still
they
trying
to unearth like Taylor Swift's MySpace page.
I don't know, but what it,
and, like
going to the MySpace website now is like watching the really really old. Male or female, it doesn't matter, that is still trying to have it, and I'm using air quotes here, which I know doesn't work on an auditory format, but doesn't realize that they haven't had it for quite some time, and they probably shouldn't be dressing like that.
It is the equivalent of the 50-year-old in skin-tight leopard print at the...
Beach.
At a like concert,
or like the 50-year-old with a banana hammock at the at the beach, you know, just leathery and you probably got a stock stuffed in there because there's no way it's that big.
A sock
stuffed in there. I can't talk tonight. So yeah, it's that whole. It's like you guys, they're trying too hard.
They're trying too hard.
Right. I mean, if it were like a skit, you'd have like Will Ferrell as the dad, and he'd like, you know, be trying to totally be badass with a tattoo or whatnot, and it's just not working out because he still has a Jufro. And so, speaking of that came up this week. So I had an entertaining week in Seattle.
Sorry, what came?
The Jufro.
Okay.
So because when we went to Sarah and Zach from Salt Lake City came up here, and we went out with him that night, and we did all the things. We ended up back at that street fair place where the pizza bar was. And yes, I know that sounds weird, but they market themselves as a pizza bar. They serve pizza and alcohol. But they had the karaoke from hell.
Yes.
There. And I fell down a rabbit hole in that, since they've been together 25 years. The guy that was the long blonde haired dude.
The nice one. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were all nice, but he was particularly nice.
Unless you were trying to record your friends on stage.
Yes, that's
true. That was funny. He's one of the co-owners of Voodoo Donuts. Because we have this annual event that we do for our work, and it's where my particular department gets the most focus. That's all my customers. I think everybody knows that I serve the electrical utility industry in my sales capacity, but I don't sell all the products. I specialize in one field, and this is a week-long event that is strictly for that one field, so you get that particular portion of the customer base there. And so it's great for me, because that's where I can just go bring out all my little toys and gadgets and whatnot and show them off. But under normal circumstances, over the past, I want to say probably 10 years or more, the thing is held in Seattle, and we've always taken them to a Mariners game. And baseball, if you guys... any of you listeners really love baseball, I'm sorry, I'm going to shit all over it right now, is a boring fucking sport. It's almost as bad as watching golf. Like, golf live sucks. I don't even like playing golf. I can't get into golf at all. At least baseball, I can almost get into it when I'm playing it. But watching it, especially if there's not a lot of, like, if it's
action.
Just... yeah, if it's just like, I'm throwing the pitch, I'm swinging the bat. There's no, like, home runs, grand slams, none of that crap. Which, normally, there's not. Because we're always kind of seem to be getting towards the beginning of the season. And so it's just like, they just are out there like, oh, I'm getting paid the same whether I sit here and scratch myself or I actually chase the ball. So it's just been, it's starting to get old, I guess would be the thing. We've done it every year, and it's the same thing every year, and we want to do something new and different, especially since what the industry I work in right now is really experiencing is there's a changing of the guard occurring. There are guys that have been working in this field of work for 30, 40, 50 years, and they're all retiring out. And most of these guys are retiring fucking like rich, because they got into the industry back when you could get, when unions were strong, you got an amazing retirement package. Some of the perks these guys get is just crazy. So when they've got their 30 years into the utility, they can pretty much just be set till they die. But because of that, there's a whole new generation coming into these utilities and coming in and being a part of this. So I've been trying over the last 3 to 5 years to, like, we need to modernize this, make it more appropriate for the younger generation who probably isn't as into baseball as you guys are. It's not the same pastime for America that it used to be. And now with the gentleman that's my counterpart on the inside, the job I used to do, he's really helped me push forward with that. We need to freshen this up thing. And they're listening to him because he has an MBA in marketing. So I guess it takes, you got to have, like, those three letters behind your name to really make it stick, because he's got all the same ideas I've had, but they're actually working through management now, which is fine. As long as it's happening, I really don't care. So we did this like a pub crawl type event, and we went and we hopped. We started off at this one distillery and kind of just did this whole thing. And so it was a good time. But when we were going through this whole thing, I was talking like, I was wondering, just kind of spitballing with my coworker. I'm like, I wonder what it would cost to get karaoke from hell to we're going to be at this bar. Maybe we could coordinate with the bar and with them to get them up there and see what the charge would be. Cause I think that'd be kind of a fun experience to get these, guys that are usually kind of a little reserved types and whatnot, out there, and see if we can get them to do any karaoke or not with a live backing band. Because I will say, it's probably got, I didn't do it, but you did that night. And it's probably got to feel almost like you're a rock star when you get your own backing band versus just having a CD track playing there,
It is, only it is really intimidating.
Yeah.
Because you can't see what's going on behind you because you're in front of everybody. And, like, the song I picked, of course, the song starts with lyrics, so it's immediate. So you don't even like get a lead up and like, okay, I come in on the, no, it's like start. And I got way tripped up.
Yeah, because you chose Buddy Holly.
I know.
And it was like,
it was a bad song to pick.
But it's
the one I know the best.
Well, and you did just fine. I think you might have a little more trepidation about your performance than what, like, you're probably, because I've got it all on video too, so.
Well, I'm never going to watch that.
but what's cool about them is they, if they do see you starting to get off track, they help you back on, unless it's like a consistent thing, and then eventually they just kick you off the stage.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting concept. So the event was a smashing success, the little pub crawl thing. Everybody loved it. We were still, and we did it in a reasonable thing too. We were back by 11:30.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, we're going to stay out to 3 o'clock and get blitzed. We're like, we're going to go have some drinks, have some dinner, and just kind of do a cool little thing in downtown Seattle. And we only had one guy that was kind of sketched out about the whole thing. And it's only because big city living just is not his bag. He's from a small town in central Washington.
You mean gay people are real? I'd only heard about them in
this. Oh, yeah, the rainbows. He's like, there's like rainbow flags everywhere. And we saw like two. I'm like, that's everywhere? I'm like, buddy, if you only knew. But yeah. Well, then, but the final straw for him, the funniest part was, so the last place we went to was this little bar that used to be a mortuary. And it's a really cool old historic building in downtown Seattle. Really want to go there. And they kept a lot of the original look of the mortuary there, like the viewing room still exists, and it looks like I don't know if they have it set up this way, but it looks like a private room that you could rent out.
Oh yeah.
Which, if they don't have it set up that way, if you guys are listening, you need to do that, because that would be people would pay money to rent out, you know. And then they had like the other area where you could have like the service, and they have, you know, that whole thing. That sketched him out. So this guy must really have like a thing about spiritualism or whatever, because he's like, I don't want to touch anything in here. You mean this is an actual, like, there was dead people in here? And he was like tripping the fuck out. It was kind of funny. It's an interesting time in the industry, but that was my week. And you had a busy week with like PTA meetings, and
I had PTA meetings, and I had a trip to the beach, which wasn't a busy thing. It was just like a, you know what?
We're going to the beach.
It's the last fucking week of summer, and I haven't seen the fucking sand. I'm going. Yeah. So I loaded up the kids and we went. It was awesome.
It looked like they had a lot of fun.
They did. They're finally at the age where I don't have to hold them even to dip their toes in the water.
Right.
I mean, I still have to keep an eye on them, but I was, you know, I put the blankets and stuff right at the edge of the wet sand, which sounds kind of gross now that I said it out loud, but you know what I mean? And so they weren't that far away from me, so I could send them down to fill up a bucket with water without, like, being right there. And I was watching them, clearly, but I didn't have to hold their hand every time, and that was kind of cool. They had a blast. It was the most... I don't want to say this, because then I'll never experience it again, but I'm going to go ahead and... I'm going to go ahead and curse myself. It was literally the best weather I have ever had at the coast. Ever.
Yeah, we had. It's an interesting, like, when people think the beach, everybody has that Southern California in their head. That's not what happens up here. The water all year round is still
frigid. Absolutely, barely not frozen.
Right, yeah. It's like in the 50-degree range. So it's really only pleasurable if it's, like, you know, hot outside.
Yeah.
But then if it's that hot outside,
then the beach is intolerable.
Right. You can't lay on the beach because there's no cross breeze or anything like that. So perfect weather for that for us is like if it's a high 80s to low 90s day, but you've got a constant breeze coming through. Yep. So you're not just sitting there sweating balls.
It was like 85-ish, maybe a little higher. The water would get warm in the shallows.
Right.
The wind was just a very low level cross breeze, nothing to like shake your blanket, just enough to so that you didn't get hot. And it was beautiful. It was the best day, and it was really fun, and I was really happy about the whole thing. And I got that beach hair thing going on.
Right.
I love beach hair when the salt water and the sand kind of makes it all like have body, and I had beach hair. So
yeah, I haven't had hair for a long time, so I don't know what beach hair, I don't remember what beach hair is like.
It was awesome. We did that, and then came home, and you know what it's like with those two. Like, mm-hmm. So what are we doing next? It's like, I just spent 4 fucking hours at the beach. What do you want?
Right.
So he ended up coming back and still going to 13 Nights on the River. Right. So.
was the van good this week, or was it another?
It was really good. It was not what I expected. What was it? It was almost like almost an African tribal.
Oh, okay.
Almost.
So it wasn't like a cover band or anything like
no,
that.
No, okay. No, it was a very original sound. It was very cool. I loved it.
Yeah, I'm just still super bummed that I missed the damn. The
You've Led missed Zeppelin. All the good ones.
Yeah, I missed all the good bands this year. I'm just going to try to plan that better for next year. Get my vacations worked around
well,
a little bit.
There's one more this next week, right. And then they're done.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what this next one is. It's nothing that was like, ooh, it was just, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So other than that, it's been a busy day for me, busy week for me, work-wise. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Just...
Yeah, and so now I gotta play catch up on emails and whatnot from being out and all that other jazz. So that's good. And then we had a little bit of a drama with at my ex's house with my kid. He was having a hard time this last week because there's his mom and her boyfriend are going through a breakup, and the boyfriend's not taking it so well. And so it just, that was like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, fuck, here I am in Seattle trying, I don't need, it's like, it always seems that the times where I really could use to just not have to worry about that kind of life mm-hmm. stuff is when it pops up. Like mm-hmm. the week before would have been great. Not great, but like better for me to have to worry about handling this or next week would have been okay. But let's say the last week, I'm like, I really don't have the time to do, I made the time, but it's just like, Yeah.
So. Yeah, I have a hard time handling all of it.
Right.
Because it's just so involving of, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When you are going through a breakup, whether it's from a long-term relationship or a short-term relationship or whatever, you involve your kids as little as humanly possible. Right. And it's just so involved with the kids that I just can't help but go, God, like, you are adults, pull this together, like, figure this out some way to not involve your kids. It's just too much for me. And it's a constant battle of blaming, like, and using the kids like as some kind of ping pong table of who's at fault.
Well, and that's there's been times when I've talked to Ezra on the phone about it, he'll start immediately getting snotty towards the things that he's done. I said, okay, look, here's the deal. You're always going to side with your mom in these things. That's the natural thing to do, because you would side with me if something happened to Jody and I. It doesn't mean that that's the correct thing to do. It's just the natural thing you're going to do. I'm like, but really, we need to take a step back from that. And whatever goes on between the two of them is between the two of them. You don't need to, I said realistically, and I said, this is kind of, it shouldn't be on you as a 12-year-old, but it kind of is. Like, right now, your biggest concern should be keeping your little sister happy now that her parents are splitting up.
Yeah.
And if that situation's occurring, maybe take her into the other room and play with her so she stays happy, because that way she's not having to go through this whole turmoil and whatnot right. So young. But you don't need to take sides in any of this. But you just need to understand that the adults will figure this out.
And my biggest problem is not that they argue in front of them, because that can happen.
Yeah.
It's that she has a tendency to repeat all the evil things that he has said
right.
to the kids. And some of it's really bad.
Yep.
And it's just not something they need to hear.
Right.
They don't need to know about the grim details of their breakup. And I feel like we've gone on a lot about this long enough.
Right. Yeah. So I'm gonna let it go. Yeah. We're going to let it go now. But yeah. So that just kind of added to the whole.
I just had 2 hours of that on the. Coming back from picking him up,
right?
I got 2 hours of all the drama, and I was just like, I can't.
Yeah. We don't need another relationship's drama. We make enough of our own. We've got enough of our own between the kids and everything else. We don't need to have toss somebody else's BS into the mix. So yeah, but I was putting all that aside, listening to, it wasn't this last episode of Mediocre. I think it was the episode before that, where Frank admitted that he has pants dumb. Or Stupid yes. with Pants. I don't remember the episode.
It Pants was Stupid.
Pants Stupid. That's what it was, yes. And they were talking about the mesh in the swim trunks.
Yeah.
Versus the board shorts. And, yeah. And he was just, you know.
I too found myself a little shocked that the shorts weren't that, more in the lexicon there.
That's not so much that, but what it reminded me of was that article, and I think we forgot to talk. I don't think we ever talked about it.
Okay.
From a few weeks back.
The my son got his penis trapped in the mesh and we had to cut it off.
Yeah, like they had to take not the penis but the mesh, but they they had
But they almost had to cut the penis off.
Right. Yeah. So this kid, like, I guess the mesh had ripped in one of the watch cycles, and it basically, like, you know, there's a tourniquet on his dick, and not to get too graphic or anything like that, but anybody who's ever looked into cock rings knows that you're only supposed to leave them on for so long because it will engorge, but it can't. So it gets,
the blood can go in, but it can't get out. Yeah.
So at some point, you're supposed to remove it to let it kind of clean itself out, so to speak, and whatnot. And so it was basically doing that to this little kid's thing. And so they got, the doctor said had they not caught it when they did, it probably would have been an amputation of the old wang. And they were able to cut it free from the netting and whatnot. But so I think Frank is doing himself a huge service.
Just cut that out.
Cut that shit out completely.
So I went on a...
But then he had to use the worst term known to man. Dick abrasion. That hurt just hearing it. Like, just hearing that term, I'm like, ow. I'm kind of like, I had the cruise control set. I'm kind of like the cross-legged thing. And I'm like, ow.
Yeah.
There's nothing, I mean, ow. There's no pleasant thought about that. I mean, there's no other, it's a very, you know, clear method of doing it. But I'll have to be honest, too, I've never worn board shorts, like, I've always worn swimming trunks, and it's never crossed my mind that surfers might do something different. But it makes total sense, but it's just never something that I've...
You've worn board shorts? Mm-mm. Yes, you have.
When?
We.
Everything I've always has had that mesh in it.
No. You and I went to a hotel when you were traveling, and we had to buy something to wear, and we bought board shorts. Because we didn't bring our bathing suits, and you wore board shorts. I know you did. I know for a fact, Mr. Forgetful.
I would, it must not be able to, I don't have any more, I know that for a fact, they're not around. But yeah, I would most definitely prefer to wear those. But this is a scary thing to think about, like, you know, here you are playing, and your kid's penis is about ready to fall off.
What she said in the article that I remember quite vividly is that he had said something was bothering him.
Right.
And she was like, oh, we'll worry about it later, kind of like...
Well, like, you know, maybe it's sand in the jungle.
Right.
That happens.
Yeah, know? And he said, he kept talking about how it was irritating him, but she just kept ignoring him. Well, and then when she found it, she felt so awful. And I'm like, that's what would happen to me.
You're just like... do I leave it on? Do I take it off?
I can't imagine a more guilty feeling than ruining your son's sexual organ.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
Like, that's forever. That's a forever kind of thing, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, they haven't made prosthetics that good yet.
Oh man, I can't even imagine. It makes my whole brain just shut down. Like, you cannot let your son's penis be damaged. Well, that's the thing about circumcision now. Like, right. That they're saying that you probably shouldn't circumcise because you're doing all this bad stuff and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, I ruined my kid. So,
it's a weird societal thing where it became...
The norm.
The norm.
But there's taboo really, not to do it.
Right. But there's like, you know, actually, we got into an argument with my grandma about that because my sister opted not to.
Yeah.
And my grandma's like going, like, you know, what about this? What about that? I'm like, all of that is just, that's just
propaganda.
Propaganda that was cooked up to make you mutilate your, I mean, it really is. And I'm sorry, I don't want to accuse anybody that does it. I'm not, you know. Obviously, there's tons of guys out there that have circumcised dicks that don't have any problems, myself included.
Thanks for that.
You know, but I'm just saying. But it's, you know, but it's just weird how something like that can catch on, and it's totally not needed. It's like, well, you know, it's like I almost look at it as like with dogs. My previous dog that I had was an Australian Shepherd Blue Heeler mix, and per the AKC or whatever that organization is. That tail, that breed should have a docked tail.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody that you talk to, like if you actually get somebody who like, because it's a cattle dog basically, mm-hmm. they always say, no, you shouldn't dock the tail of that dog because doing the cattle herding and whatnot, they use the tail a lot to help counterbalance and this and that. And so you're kind of doing them a disservice. And I'm almost looking at it like, well, if it wasn't supposed to be there, it probably wouldn't be there in the first place. I mean, yeah, we've learned there's certain appendages like the appendix and whatnot that we can live without. But it's not like we just go in there and take, like, well, that doesn't do anything anymore, so we're just going to go ahead and cut it out now. It's like the human penis is the only thing we go in there. Ah, we don't need that extra lap of skin right there. We're just going to go ahead and toss it off. And then you get into the gross stuff, like the babies that are contracting STDs and whatnot, because of the Jewish ritual of sucking the blood out and just, ugh. Like, that's something that makes me, like, at what point in time did it become okay to suck a little baby's dick? Like, what made a religion think that was okay? Like,
yeah. Well, ugh. Okay, what I'm going to step in and say is every religion has stupid bullshit that they
do. Oh, yes, yes. So, I'm not trying to harp on right. that. I'm not trying to focus on them and say you're evil. I'm just saying it's one of those things that baffles me about religion, about how something that if I was – sorry, I'm not going to use myself as an example of this. If a person were to walk up and just suck a kid's penis – they'd be like, no, you can't do that. That's not allowed.
Rightfully so.
You keep your mouth away from his genitals. No. Don't do that. Don't
do that.
But somebody puts themselves in a religious position of power. Well, we have this ritual, and it's to help. I was like, yeah, sure. Suck my son's dick. I'm okay with that. And you're just like, wait, what? Where does that, like, where? I can't fathom or process this shift there.
The disconnect.
Like, okay, so if random dude in the street, what if random dude in the street says he's blessed by God? Is it okay if he sucks the kid's dick then? Or is it like, I mean, where does this, and you know the answer to that question is going to be, well, no. It's like, so then why is it this dude can suck the kid's dick, but this dude can't? I don't. And I know there's no sexual thing behind it, but still, it's just, if the guy on the street tried to say, well, there's nothing sexual about this, I just like to suck kids' dicks, you'd be like, yeah, motherfucker, no, I'm going to put a bolt in your head now. But this guy, so I just sit here like, what?
Yeah, I don't get it, but I'm also not going to tell parents they can't do it anyway. It just is weird, but it's weird.
Yeah,
and,
no.
And the risks associated with it are so...
Well, like, yeah, I think if you're taking a chance at giving your son an STD...
Well, and what they've been getting, what they've been getting is herpes.
Right.
And that can kill you as a newborn.
Yeah.
That's why they test pregnant mothers for it. Because if you give birth, vaginal birth... Everybody that? Vaginal birth. If you give vaginal birth to a baby and you have herpes, you can kill your child.
Mm-hmm.
Or blind them mm-hmm. forever.
Yeah, and so it's like, why don't you let, you know, do it the old-fashioned American way. Let the kid fuck up on his own and get it when he's, like, 18, right? Don't do it for him now. You know, wait till he joins the military and goes from port to port and gets all sorts of weird shit, you know? But
don't, that would be much better than dying or being blind. I'm just saying.
So it's crazy. Yeah.
Speaking of vaginal birth,
I was gonna say yeah. Speaking of that, so they also talked about C-sections on Mediocre, and it's funny how, or not funny, but it's kind of cool. It's weird.
It is very odd the correlations between
how their first one was done and Temperance was, and then how it went with Trent. Because you did the same thing. You labored. For quite some time, and then the doctor finally...
A day.
Yeah, and the doctor finally figured out that if we let this continue to happen, either you or the baby or both are going to die.
Well, they didn't say that, though. They're like, well, you know...
No, that was the legit thing about this doctor. He's like, you know, it's probably just the best... It's going to be less stress for you and the baby if we just go ahead and take care of this now. And then it was after the fact.
The next day, I'm still all doped up. He comes in, he's like, I'm so glad you're doing okay. I'm so glad things went the way they did. I just wanted to come in and let you know, because I know a lot of moms have trepidation. That their labors didn't go the way they planned.
Right.
I wanted you to know that if it'd been 100 years ago, you'd both be dead.
Yeah.
But
I appreciated that because you were having some trepidations because you were really upset that because you had this whole holistic at home birth, and then there was things that stopped that from being able to happen, and so none of your birthing plan went to plan, and so you were pretty upset about that. But that pretty much flipped the switch for you, like, okay, we could have been dead, no problem. I made the right decision.
Yep,
no big deal.
Well, he pulled the same maneuver when we were talking about doing a VBAC.
Yeah,
because I was like, well, we'll just second time around, we'll do a VBAC, and he's like, well, I'll let you if you really want to push it, But the danger, because I said, you know, if it's just a matter of whether or not I, you know, have complications or whatever, I'm, you know, I'd rather just do it the natural way. And he goes, that's fine. If you want to do it that way, we can push it. I don't like it, but I'll do it. But I just want to let you know, it's not, the risk isn't to you, because you could die at any time, any right. type of birth. It right. just thing, bad things happen.
Yeah.
The risk is to have a child that's a vegetable and in a vegetative state for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
That will be short. And I'm like, all right, sign me up for that C-section then. And it was just like, he was just very blunt and honest. He's like, I'll right. do whatever you want me to do.
And that's the one thing that really bums me about. And it's really strange. It bums me that he's no longer
I know.
Your OB. But it's because of the retarded office staff they have there that could not bill. When it starts to the point where we can't stay out of collections because this one office can't bill us correctly,
they and we have to keep fighting figure it. It out.
No, and we'd have to keep it. And we always got it reversed, yeah. but it was just way. We don't need to.
I couldn't handle it anymore. And he had gotten to where he was seeing so few patients.
Yeah.
That. Like, even just to get in for, like, my yearly exam, I had to book forever. It 6 months in advance. Yeah. And if, heaven forbid, something comes up and I have to change the appointment.
Right.
So, it's yeah. fine.
But you no, know, but I did appreciate that from him, that he was just straight to the point, like, no, this is the best way to do it. So, the one part where he, I'm not going to say he messed up, but no. he was actually, like, really shocked. So, when Temperance was being born,
yeah.
he's like, do you want to see the baby once I take him out?
Yeah.
And I, medical shit doesn't bother me. Guts, seeing, I, for all intents and purposes, I probably should have been a med student because none of that stuff grosses me out, so on and so forth. Yeah, it doesn't gross me out. So it, I've never had a problem with the scene of blood, bone, whatever. So when he asked if I want to see it, I said sure. So I stood up, looked over the curtain, see Tempe, look at she's doing it good, you know, the whole nine. You know, she's actually a girl like they said that she was. Okay, and there was nothing going on. You know, basically the quick checks you do, like, okay, there's not, like, you know, a vagina and a penis. We're not going to deal with that. All right, we're good there. And all 10 fingers and toes. Okay, we're good there. And all that. And then the nurse takes her away. And then I noticed that I'm like, oh, that's the uterus. And oh. It's outside. And this guy was washing it like some people wash, like, their Thanksgiving turkey. Like, he's all up there just scrubbing it, and, like, and he's reaching inside your abdominal cavity. And, like, this is very similar to, like, when, literally, like, when you're pulling the inner. I'm like, what is he doing? And I'm like, finally, I look at him, I'm like, could you be careful with that? I might want it later. And he's like, there's a shocked look on his face. And he looks at me, he's like, oh, you're still, are you okay? I'm like, this is interesting as shit. He's like, you're weird. I'm like, well, I'm just saying, that's the uterus, right? He's like, as he's like scrubbing it. I'm like, okay, sorry, I'm going to leave you alone. I don't want to distract you. Make sure it all goes back in there, okay? I just, please put it, I mean, like, looks like there's an order of operations here, so make sure tube A is connected to slot B like it's supposed to be. And then the nurse kind of pulls me aside. She's like, that didn't bother you at all? I'm like, I'm not squeamish. She's like, the last guy that looked over the curtain, he literally stood up, just saw his baby, and dunk, was on the ground. And that was that. So I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. Me, on the other hand, was sitting there like, I'm going to.
You're sitting there, and he's like, so you're like, what's going on down there? I'm like, nothing, honey. Everything's perfectly fine.
I can't feel anything, but I'm awake, and I can feel things moving.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest sensation.
Well, it's the same sensation, I'm sure, when I had my vasectomy done.
Because no.
I could feel, well, no,
I
no.
promise.
No, no, I'm saying, like, it felt like I could feel him, like, yeah. I felt my insides moving around. Like, wherever that tube is connected to internally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt where it was at, and I could feel the feeling of him moving and tugging on it. There was just none of the pain that would normally be associated with somebody yanking on your testicles like that.
It's an eerie weird, feeling,
it
and
is.
I was doped up a lot.
Yep.
When I'm under anesthesia, I shake really bad.
But not nearly as bad when it was a planned thing versus when it was unplanned.
Right.
Because you hadn't gone through all. Yeah.
I was shaking like a leaf the whole time.
And that bummed you out too because.
I couldn't hold her.
I was able. Yeah. So I had this weird thing where I'm like, I'm holding her and I'm like leaning so she's up against you so she can try to nurse and whatnot. But you couldn't be trusted. And it wasn't anything bad. It was just you literally were losing.
Shaking.
You were losing control of your appendages and whatnot. So you could. So I had to make sure to keep the baby propped up and all that. And so the whole thing was, and then also that was the incident where your mom and I got into a fight because she was being a raging lunatic.
Yes, that was great.
And yeah, so.
Whereas with Trent,
Everything was scheduled.
Everything was scheduled, and we checked in, and we're here for our baby, and like the whole thing there was it was a lot like checking into a hotel and like renting a movie.
Right. Like, it was weird. So here's what's gonna happen: we're gonna wheel you to the room. You're gonna get your scrubs on.
Yep.
They're gonna take you back there. We're gonna get her, you know, doped up. We're gonna check to make sure she can't feel anything. Doctor's gonna do his thing real quick. Blah blah blah. And it was like, oh, this is kind
of
nice.
The only
and,
thing is, you get really impatient, and they kept delaying us because of other things that were happening, and you get super impatient. Well,
so that
because part, I mean, I realized part of that's in support of me because we get there at like 5 so that we can be operating by 7, and it's like 10 and I haven't eaten that whole time and I'm getting cranky. But
well, see, yeah, so there's a multifaceted position to that. There is, and this is do not take any offense to this whatsoever because I fully support you being this way because of what you're going through. There's a little bit of, I don't want to be stuck in the room with this hungry psychotic bitch anymore because she's a psychotic bitch only because she's hungry, and she's only hungry because you won't let her eat because you're afraid of a vomiting situation and aspirating on her own barf, and I get all that. But, like, legitimately, if you're going to starve somebody, don't be fucking late.
Especially that's the first a pregnant thing. Lady. Like, don't starve a pregnant lady and then be late.
I legitimately didn't eat with you because I didn't really want to eat in front of you because I felt bad. I'm like, no worries. They're going to be done by 7. I can run to the cafeteria, get some food. I'll come back up there. We'll be good. And then 10, so I'm getting hangry. So it's my hangry with your hangry. And I'm not wanting to deal with your hangry nor my hangry. And then there's all this going on. And then it's just one of those things of, I know that from experience with his office staff, if we're late to an appointment, they get all sorts of self-righteous about it.
Yeah, they do.
And they get really fucking testy. Like, well, you're 5 minutes late. I don't know if he has time to see you. No, motherfucker. He has time to see me. It's a way. Like, my ankle appointment, this last one I went to. So I was 3.5 minutes late to this ankle appointment because their elevator, which is the only way to get up this fucking floor, the stairs are locked unless there's an emergency, was slow because they have construction going on in the hospital. So the construction crew was hopping it between two floors. So I kept like, it was like 2 and 3 and 2 and 3 and 2 and 3. And I'm watching the number 2, 3, 2. I'm like, what the fuck is it doing? And then finally it comes down. I notice they got all the fabric up in the elevator and some construction guys come off. I'm like, oh. So I get up there. I'm like, yeah, I had an 8 o'clock appointment. I'm a few minutes late because of the elevator and the construction. She goes, well, he's got a really tight schedule today. And I don't know if he's going to have time to see you. And I'm like, it's been 3 minutes. I can hear him back there bullshitting with the office staff. He ain't started shit yet. So he wouldn't even be in my room right now, but I'd be in there. I think you can see me. He's like, well, she's like, well, let me go check. I'm like, yeah, why don't you go do that, please? And she goes and checks. So I'm like, okay, everything's fine. I'm like, that's kind of what I thought. Thank you. But I'm like, what the fuck? Like, yeah. I'll sit in a room waiting on this guy for 20 minutes. And I get it in certain cases, like if you're in an emergency room and somebody comes through and their brains are leaking out of their ears. Yeah, that takes precedence over my twisted ankle or whatever. But if I'm in a specialist's office and I've got an appointment by a certain time, talking about the golf game you had last night is not something that should take precedence over coming in and meeting the required appointment, especially if you're going to flip me shit for it. So we're going through that with you and the whole thing, and it's getting delayed.
But it was a lot easier, but I did end up actually throwing up a lot because
on that one,
afterward they kept asking how my pain was, and I was being honest. I'm pretty intolerant to pain meds.
Yeah.
And I'm fairly tolerant of pain, but especially when I'm already like,
yeah,
I was like, no, it still fucking hurts. So they kept giving me more and more and more of the pain medication.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm like, not good. And I threw up so much.
You did, which then made it worse. And so I actually, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I had a discussion with the nurse. I'm like, she's like, well, she said she was hurting. I'm like, yeah, but I would think that somebody that tells you that they're sensitive to pain medicine and gets nauseous, you might be a little more careful than just like, let's fucking dump another bag in her. You know, I said, because now I know that we're going to be putting up with another extended recovery time because she's just done all this, you know, abdominal retching, on an open wound. And, you know, once again, it's one of those things where the staff can make or break the overall experience. But at least that one, I didn't have your mom being psycho, you know, to worry about. It was a lot simpler process that time around. It's definitely completely different. Cause I remember with Ezra and going through that whole process, and he actually got stuck in the canal and they were getting ready to roll her back for an emergency C-section. And that's when you realize that for all the advancements we've made, there's still some medieval ass shit going on up in those. Mm-hmm. And it's either that or it's like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of a thing. Because the last effort was, she's like, okay. And she rolls on this thing and it looks like a pull-up bar. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what we're going to do exercises now? And she's like, no, it's a squat bar. And so what they do is they have the mom stand up and then gets in this weird squatting position. And it's like, and fuck if it didn't work. Because all of a sudden she squats down and there's Ezra. I'm like, that was just weird because there's nothing like watching that particular area of something that you've recently had pleasure in, like, do what it does. It's like, is it going to go back to normal? Like, are they, is it going to, what the fuck? You know? So, but it, you know, and then Ezra comes out, it's like, ah, yes, he has the Albrecht head. That's why he was stuck. I'm looking at him like, damn. And I'm looking at her, I'm like, are you sure you're okay? Because that just came out of that. Oh! That's like, you know, I don't think there's, you know, there's not a, like, a turd big enough that a guy could use to compare that kind of pain. I was like, oh, good. You know? So, yeah, that whole process is just kind of, it's weird. But the C-section definitely makes it a lot simpler, especially if it's a planned one, because you're just not dealing, because you're not dealing with all the physical exhaustion that you get when you've tried to labor through it, and then you had to get a C-section on top of that.
Yeah, I think that the recovery was easier with Trent than it was with Tempe, but...
Well, that, and I also, I think part of it, your mind's at ease, too, because you know what to expect.
Yeah.
Versus when you don't have idea of what the after recovery is supposed to be. Because, like, that, you know, had we had the natural birth, I could have helped out a little bit there, too, because I remember from with Ezra, like, oh, yeah, okay, so you're going to have some of this, you're going to have some of that, but none of that. I'm like, oh, I do. You, so, like, you're like... At one point, you had me looking at your incision. Does this look weird? I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but they slice you from stem to stern, so to speak, and you're one. It's like a smiley face in your belly. So yeah, in general, it does look weird. But define weird. Like, what kind of weird do you want me to look for here? Like is it like infected weird, or like does this look like the Joker's face weird, or like what?
I was really self conscious about what it was going to look like scarring wise, and I will say that my belly shape changed
a lot,
a ton.
Yeah.
Because now my muscle was cut. Yeah. And so, like, I have pooches and pouches where I never did before, and it bugs the hell out of me still. But I know it sounds weird for somebody to be like, I know I'm big, but I'm not big in the way I used to be big. Because I'm not varied that much.
Yeah.
It's just that it looks totally different. I carry everything differently because it's a big cut in my muscle and my abdomen. So it still bugs me, but... whatever. You can't see a scar. You can't see, like, an actual scar. But that's where I fold now. Like, that's where everything decides to flop over. Yeah. And it's just not attractive at all. It's a bummer.
Well, it's kind of like after having a vasectomy. It's like, you know, my boys were... No. I'm saying, let me finish. In the realm of... A, if you didn't have sagging nets before, you're definitely going to have a little bit of that going on after the fact because you're losing some of that support there. B, if you're like me and you already had, like, you know, the low-hanging fruit anyways, it just becomes that much more low-hanging now. And so every once in a while I look down, I'm like, God damn! Like, do I need to get, like, a lift and a tuck, or like, do they make a scrotal situation where, like, it's almost like you want, like, those Venetian blind things? Like, can I get, like, a drawstring down there so I can, like, on the days I need him to hang low, I can just whoop, and on the other days where it'd be nice to have him tucked up and out of the way, I can just kind of draw the string down and, you know, lift him up a little bit. And but nope, no such luck. So it's just like, and then every once in a while you feel it, like, I'm like, oh, ow, there it is, and you just never had quite that whole thing going on before, so. But it's totally worth it for the worry-free sex.
Yeah, you're telling me.
So, woohoo, I know she's not going to get pregnant.
It's so nice. Because both of the kids were like, well, that's a surprise. That's awesome. Great. But both times I was on birth control.
Yep.
So we were in the carefree, I'm on birth control, who the fuck cares? And then it's like, oh, wait.
Well, not just that, you're on birth control, but also we're told that you're going to have a hard time conceiving in the first place. Then my superior quality of sperm took care of that particular issue.
Yeah, whatever.
I was nicknamed the ovary whisperer at work, so. Because literally it was like, when Oh, that's a name drop. Jesus. Got to pull that one out because that's just going to piss somebody off. When my ex came, when we decided to have one, and she, like, literally, she came off birth control, and, like, 3 weeks later, she's like, I think I'm pregnant. I'm like, what? Damn, really? I thought this took a while, you know? And I was like, nope. So, and then, you know, with you, supposedly it's going to be a lot harder, so we could be a little more...
Well, I was
carefree, so to
I
speak.
I wasn't carefree. I was
no, but
I was
like from my end,
yeah.
Like, well, there's extra things I could have done that we didn't do, but part of it's because of your latex allergy.
Yeah,
and so, well, here we are. We have three kids now.
We love all of them.
Oh, we dearly. Do dearly. Yes, yeah, and we actually.
You said that like you didn't.
Today
mean
was
it.
A rough day. Today was a rough fucking day with the kids. So. Yesterday, I think it was, yeah, yesterday, when I got back into town, came home, got a few more things for work wrapped up, and then I realized it was getting late and I needed to feed the kids, but we've been trying really hard, like, it's been since we've moved into this place, if it gets super late, we need to feed the kids, we're going to do something quick and easy. Mm-hmm. But quick and easy always means either fast food,
yeah.
Microwave food, all the stuff that's not good for them. I'm like, no, we've been on this kick now where we're really trying to eat better and we're trying to lose weight. So we ran up to Safeway, we got some fruits, some vegetables, some good stuff. I bought some really nice thick-ass T-bone steaks for you and I to eat because they wanted bratwurst, which we already had. Then I came back here and I fired up the grill. But in the process of going to Safeway, Trent decided to try to climb the side of an empty cart, and then launched him off and almost split his head open on the floor and then landed on him. And the only reason it didn't land on him was because Temperance caught it and kept it from landing on him. And then she starts doing the weird dance thing that she does where she likes to jump and yank on the cart, and then she almost knocked it over onto herself. So there's all that going on, and I had asked him to knock it off a bunch of times, and then I forgot something leaving the store, and it was something that Temperance wanted, which was corn on the cob, and then she jumped my shit for forgetting it, and I'm like, well, of course I forgot it, because you guys are being shitheads in the store, and I was too busy worrying about keeping you from killing each other or somebody else. But yes, I forgot the corn on the cob, and we ended up going to another store to get it, and then, like, today was kind of the same thing. The trip to the park was pretty uneventful. Then we had to stop at Subway and get them some sandwiches so they have something to eat while we're at this, because it was a little get together for some old high school friends and whatnot. And the last get together we had was a family not friendly event, so we decided to have a family friendly event where we could all bring our kids, all the kids could play together. So we stopped at Subway, and I've got Ezra, Temperance, and Trent all telling me how the different ways how I'm doing this process wrong. When what's really happening is they've got a trainee behind the counter who's trying to ring this food up, and all three of the kids are telling me that I'm wrong, and then telling her that she's wrong, and fucking her up, and causing this whole. And finally, I zerked a little bit, and I looked at all of them, I'm like, would you guys shut the fuck up? I'm the adult in this situation, as is she. We're trying to have some adult-level conversations here that do not fucking involve you. So just everybody needs to be quiet right now. And then the other lady came over and realized that she had entered the order wrong, had to get it fixed, so that took time. And then I'm trying to get to the point where I'm getting ready to go tell Ezra that I want him to grab the keys, take the kids out to the car, get the air conditioner going. I've got to run in and use the restroom real quick. We're having like a level 4, emergency here. Like, it's either I use the restroom now or I sneeze later and have a mess, in the process of me getting ready to open my mouth, he's like, I'm going to go over there and grab the juice box for the kids. I'm like, no, you're not. You're going to stand right there and you're going to wait for me to tell you what to do. And he's like, oh, God, fine. I was just trying to help. I'm like, you've been trying to help since we got in this fucking store, and it hasn't helped one little bit because you're telling me how I'm ordering wrong. You're telling me how I'm doing this wrong, blah, blah, blah. And I finally looked at him. I said, as stupid as this is going to sound, I worked fast food. I can speak their language, and I know how to talk to make it make sense. You just need to be quiet. And so then we get to the park. They're playing. Everything's cool. And then on the way home, we got to go get a replacement dresser for Trent because his broke. And I once again find myself in IKEA alone with three kids. I was like, oh boy. And then I don't know if it's because of the free air conditioning or what, but like every idiot and their uncle is in IKEA doing that infuriating thing where they're walking like single file sideways as like one big large crowd down the aisle. So there's no way to maneuver around them. And then I've literally seen, I could almost literally theorize that there's probably old people that could fuck faster than these people walk, right? Like geriatrics with arthritis that could get it on faster than these people are walking down these aisles. And they just stop in front of you for no reason. And then, like, when you were like, excuse me, or what, can I get around you, please? It's like you've personally offended them. And because I wasn't feeling well with the whole stomach issues at the Subway earlier, I didn't get myself lunch. I was still kind of full from breakfast. Still wasn't sure if I wanted to add to that whole mix. So at this point, I'm getting hangry. And then, of course, like, Tempe's doing the whole, I'm going to run and jump off the bed. Like, jump onto the bed and bounce off of it. I'm like, no, you're not. And she does it anyways. And then Trent does, like, I'm going to touch every little thing in the world and knock this whole pile of stuff off the shelf. And I'm like, fuck, really? Come on, guys. And so we finally make our way through IKEA. I'm trying to find this damn lamp for above my desk and couldn't find it. Tried to get somebody to help me. I walked up to her and she'd already taken off or something else. So the whole fucking thing went sideways. So we finally get back out to the car, get the kids in the car. Then they're like, I'm hungry. Let's stop here. Let's go to 7-Eleven. Let's stop at this. I want snacks. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we're not getting anything until we get home. And then I immediately text you. We're an hour out. I don't mean to interrupt what you're doing with the house cleaning and whatnot, but food has to be on table when we walk indoor or bad things are going to happen. And you're like, okay, I'll make dinner then.
Yep.
So it's,
there wasn't a lot to choose from, but
yeah, but
I had dinner already when you got did. Home.
And it was the saving grace because I don't know that they would have survived or that I would have survived that whole, you know, event because, yeah. No, I love my kids. Don't get me wrong. But there are just some days where they really seem to be trying super duper hard to just push every little button they can possibly push.
Wait. I thought I heard crying. Okay. I did. I thought I heard crying. Didn't you hear the... Okay. There's no segue into this. Like, I this is a hard stop, and I just don't.
I straight segued into you. I said, start talking.
No.
That's segue enough.
No, it's not. Because we just went from you being pissed about IKEA and dinner to, I don't know, valid scientific research?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of valid scientific research. Oh, here we go. It took valid scientific research to design IKEAs in such a way that there is not a feasible exit strategy to get out of there without seeing every fucking product they offer.
Isn't that smart of them?
Yes and no. I just look at that place and go, please, God, don't let there be a fire while I'm in here because we're all going to fucking die because there's no way to get out of this place. Like, people can't navigate the floor under normal circumstances. Like, they've got arrows that point you where to go. Like, it's as simple as it can be. If you're in the lane, there's a big white arrow that says your fat ass should walk this way, right? And then, oh, no, now you got to make a left. Oh, now you got to make a right. And these people are like, dude. Do I cut through here? Or do I go straight in the thing? Do I just leave my cart in the middle here so it fucks everybody else up? Or do I go? And so the whole thing is designed to be one big roadblock that you can't get out of without looking at everything. So a lot of scientific research went into that. Go.
I don't like your segue.
See, I spent a lot of time setting it up.
I know, you still mess and it up. Still was shitty.
At least I tried.
Don't give me the look. Don't give me the look. I got in a Facebook argument this week.
You argued with somebody on the internet?
It was really dumb of me to do. I'm sorry. What? I'm sorry.
All the years we've been together and all the lessons we've taught each other, I thought I had that one nailed down.
You know how rarely I do this. I'm like the queen of like let it go on Facebook. Like, I don't care. But somebody posted, a friend of mine posted an article about a recent publication of a study about what people will judge you for when you leave your children alone. Like, they set up a scenario, like, if a woman was putting her her baby in the baby seat in the car and then on the way around the car got hit and taken away by an ambulance,
mm-hmm.
Would it be okay for her to leave the child alone? Kind of thing. Because it's all about leaving your children alone.
Well, in that particular scenario, she wouldn't be leaving the child alone. If the paramedics didn't catch the kid after the fact,
no, but,
that'd be their fault.
But they're talking about, basically they'd set it up like, okay, baby left alone in car. First scenario, mom was hit and injured and taken away. Second scenario is mom ran into the store to get something. Third scenario is mom was smoking a cigarette behind the store. Fourth scenario is mom was meeting a lover behind the store, you know, whatever.
Fifth scenario is, if you guys put this much time and fucking effort into anything else but arguing on the internet, not you, but yeah, them, we could have solved world hunger, we could have renewable energy, and there would be no more poverty.
Okay, but let's leave that aside. So they were trying to figure out what they were actually asking the people taking the survey to rate the danger the child was in each scenario, and they would rate the child as being in higher danger if what the mother was doing was less moral.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually say that the child was in more danger,
right,
if the mom was meeting a lover behind the store if she accidentally...
Right. If the situation with the kid in the car did not change, meaning the car was running, had the air controls on, so in theory, cool or warm or whatever it needs to be, none of that changes. It's what happened to the mom changes.
Yes.
And then the moral ambiguity of the situation is what altered what type of danger the child was in.
Right.
That's some bullshit.
But they proved scientifically that the worst people to judge the mothers were other mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Men judged them a little bit. Older women judged the most. Older women, then younger women, then older men, then younger men, then down from there.
Right.
So basically, women are the hardest on other women,
right,
period, which is something I already knew. But this whole article brings up this, you know, this kind of pet peeve of mine that we're raising kids who cannot ever be left alone.
Yeah. Or left to their own abilities to try to problem solve and figure out, which kind of ties into what we talked about last week about that thing about your child's going to learn problem-solving skills,
right,
and there's people that are in an uproar about it.
And also, there is a bit of this kind of mentality of, well, I'm trying to think back to what I was, and I realize people may not agree with how my mom raised me, whatever,
mm-hmm,
but I remember we were left in the car while she went into the grocery store all the time.
Right.
And like, hey, play or whatever. I don't want to, because it's hard to take kids in the grocery store, especially if it's a quick jaunt in there. Like, I know I need pasta sauce and noodles. I'm going to run in. I'm going to get pasta sauce and noodles. And like, to get the kids out, it adds 20 minutes.
Yeah. Whereas I was raised in the exact opposite, where the kids always came in with you. And especially if you were with my dad, you just knew that you kept your ass in line. And normally, if you did, there'd usually be like a piece of candy or something on the way out the door that would be added to your benefit. But if you didn't, there was that awkward time in the car where it was silent and he wasn't speaking to you, and you were just waiting for him to figure out. It's like, is he so pissed that he can't talk right now, and he's afraid that he's going to strangle me if he starts speaking, or is it he's just fucking with me, or is it whatever? And there's sometimes it was a little bit of everything. And then it was always scarier from him when he was calm, cool, and very even toned when he was talking. Like, you knew that man was mad at you when he's like, if you ever pull something like that again, I will rip your throat out, rip your head off. One of his favorite lines was, I'll rip your head off and shit down your windpipe. I was like, but it was always like that, delivered like that, just that really. It wasn't always
grocery store. Sometimes it was going into an office where she needed us to not be in there or whatever.
Yep.
Whatever it is, we were also left to our own devices a lot more often at home.
Right.
We were also left to our own devices a lot more often out and about where we were, you know, here's $5. We were allowed to walk to here in town. My grandmother lived on 6th Street. There was a place called 8th Street Grocery. You can imagine that's about 2.5 blocks, right? We were allowed to just go there and come back. And I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I was probably slightly older than Tempe. And there were older kids among us, you know, all the cousins and whatnot. So it wasn't like we were alone. But I want to say, the oldest can't have been older than Ezra is now.
Right.
No way. So it was like between the ages of 7 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd just go down there, buy, you know, soda or whatever, and come back. And the other article that a friend just recently posted is that statistically, we actually live safer in a safer time now than we did back then. So here's my quandary. Why can't we do the same things we did then, now? What is the difference, and why have we come to a place where we can't?
The difference is, in my opinion, the same thing that you always see. But the difference is that these things have been happening for eons. Mm-hmm. And kids have been left to their own devices and all this stuff for millennia now. Because it's the necessity that drives what happens. There was a summer I spent at the age of 12, maybe 13, where I had to watch my sister because my parents, we had just gotten back to Oregon. We had just gotten back into our own place. They're both working jobs with screwy hours, and they could not afford childcare. There was mm-hmm. no way around it. So, but because of that, we weren't allowed to go outside and play outside of the apartment and whatnot because of the fact that if one of us fell and hurt ourselves, there were no cell phones that kids had at the time, so there was no way to call for help, that kind of thing. So I spent a summer mostly indoors, except for when they got off, my dad got off work. Then we take off and we tear off for a few hours, blow the stink off or whatnot. But that was something that happened that even I think my mom nowadays, she kind of snub her nose at a little bit. But it's because it was what they had to do to make sure the family could put food on the table and whatnot. But back then, there was no Facebook. There was no internet.
Yeah.
There was, or, you know, the internet was in its infancy, so you didn't have the instant access to all this information. And when you had your realm of, I wouldn't say knowledge, but your realm of people, your realm of influence, I'll call it, which I'll look at that as people that you either hang out with, associate with, and or just know in some way, shape, or form, was much, much smaller. So you were only exposed to a judgy mom, or that, you know, you didn't have pages dedicated to judgy moms coming together to judge each other and these judgy mom contests, blah, 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 blah. And so there was a lot of that where you just didn't have that type of exposure back then. So I don't think that it's really changed. I think people have always had the same opinions on one side of the fence or the other all along. It's just a lot easier to make that opinion known worldwide and to shame somebody in a very public way.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. We had a quick potty break there.
Sorry.
But yeah, I think it's because it's it's so much easier to publicly shame somebody, and everybody thinks, to some extent, there's a lot of people out there that thrive upon, I should say that there have always been people that thrive upon other people reaffirming their point of view, and it can happen on a much grander scale now that we have things like Facebook and whatnot.
Yeah, and I think some of it too is the my opinion is right because I can say it louder or more often.
Right. Well, let's take this. So we're at this hotel, which is the hotel we always go to for this particular event this last week. And I had noticed this guy come through before, and I don't recall him staying there or why maybe he was there visiting a friend or something like that, but he had his three kids with him. It was probably like, I would say the range was 7, 5, and 2. And maybe 3. And, I had noticed him earlier. And then as we're walking back to our room from this, I think we had come back from dinner. We're going up and we're walking back to our room. And at first it sounded like there was somebody fighting. Like there was definitely somebody yelling, and it was frantic yelling. Mm-hmm. And there was a girl and a guy yelling, and I'm like, okay, great. There's probably the possible domestic issue here. And so my coworker and I immediately stop. We're looking around to see what's going on. And then I see this guy running and he's yelling for his son. And it's the youngest one. That's like the 3-year-old. They don't know where he got away and took off. And we're talking that the hotel itself is fairly he would be okay if he was on hotel grounds.
Right.
But if he happened to wander off to the street that this hotel is,
very
busy street, and it's also even busier and less safe now because the street that goes from the hotel to the college has construction on it, and that's actually a main thoroughfare.
Right.
And that's actually so they've even diverting ambulances and whatnot down this other street, and people are getting super impatient at all the extra traffic, so they're doing really ridiculous stuff. And I admit to it, my first instinct was, how in the hell did you let your kid go away?
Yeah.
Get away from you. Then I immediately stopped myself. I'm like, that doesn't fucking matter right now. The guy's missing his kid.
Yeah.
So we both lean over the railing. I'm like, hey. And I wave at him. He's like, you find him? I'm like, I don't know which him you're talking about. I know you had two hymns. Is it the big one or the little? He's like, it's a little guy. I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to start looking. And we're getting ready to split off. And right as we say that, he goes, shit, I see him. And he takes off running and he goes over there. And then I hear him weeping. I'm like, okay, he did. He found him. And then they go walking off. So everything was kosher. After that, I didn't think, dude, you lost your kid or anything like that. I was like, I'm so glad the child wasn't hurt.
Right.
I'm so glad that this turned out okay. It could have been a lot worse. And I have no room to judge because we've all had that panic moment where we don't know where our kid is for a split second.
Right.
And so, but there are, you know, and I've been guilty of this myself, of the quick judgment, the quick whatever. And then as I've had these life experiences and I've met certain people that have broadened my horizons a little bit, like one of our previous guests with her kid and the rage control issues, that makes you realize, okay, the default knee-jerk reaction we have most of the time could very well be wrong. And
But can I read you the response?
Yeah, go ahead.
The article got posted. I wasn't going to say a word. I'd seen it posted several times the other day. This is what got me to say something. The very first comment.
Oh, here we go.
I don't care what the odds say. That is child abuse in my book. And she doesn't point out what. Because the article talked about a lot of different scenarios. Right. But leaving your child at all. I'm talking about letting a little kid walk in the park alone or even play outside alone. My kid probably won't be the one to get abducted and dismembered. But it does happen to many children. And if it happened to my child, name omitted, because I left her alone, then I couldn't forgive myself or get over it.
Okay, so I can
agree with the last sentiment.
Right.
No matter what happens to your kid could get struck by fucking lightning holding your hand and you would still feel responsible.
Right. Yeah, that's not going to change unless you're just a shitty parent.
Right. So that's what got me to say something. And this is what I said. I found this very interesting. And there were a couple of comments in between. But I'm tired of being judged for not, quote unquote, protecting my child from evil people. Let's start blaming the evil people and continuing to be a community that watches out for others. Because I feel like if everybody can kind of keep an eye out,
right,
then those dangers are lessened. And I feel like people are blaming the wrong thing.
Right.
When a child gets murdered, you don't blame the parents for not watching the child. You blame the fucking murderer. You blame the murderer's parents. You blame somebody, but you don't blame the parents. Okay. So, I went on to say, I'll admit freely that I give my kids more independence than most and still not as much as I had when I was young. I talked about babysitting and blah, 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 blah. And then I kind of pointed out that if we're not careful, we're going to be raising an entire generation of kids that won't be able to function without help and a whole group of people that go to the emergency room for a Band-Aid. I still fail to see the danger of leaving my 5 and 7-year-old in the car with AC on if it's warm for 10 minutes while I run into the store, which is something that I still am like baffled that people find so ridiculous.
Right. And then the moms came out with their claws, didn't they?
Oh, they did. And then I apologized because I felt like I jumped all over my friend's post about this article.
Right.
So I'm just like, sorry, I ranted. It's a pot button. I'm sorry. LOL. Then the same woman who had posted before, basically, we've got so many perverts in this world that killed children. In 2011, there was a second grader that was allowed to walk to the bus stop by himself just down the street and was kidnapped and dismembered, and it was a safe neighborhood. He did get prosecuted and either sentenced to death or life in prison, but it's too late for the little boy. He'll never be brought back, and if the parents had walked with him, he'd still be here. I'm not blaming the parents at all because they thought it would never happen to them. That's just one kid, but it's one kid too many. And I'm like, once again, she's blaming the parents for not walking their kid to the bus stop instead of the person that fucking killed a kid.
So she's doing something that I myself do from time to time, but in a very different scenario. I guess for the lack of a better term, you could consider me a pessimist I'm a hardcore realist, really, is what it comes down to, which tends to make me lead more towards the pessimistic side of things when I'm analyzing certain situations. And so there's that knee-jerk reaction to whatever, but then to try to protect and stop all these myriad of different things that could happen. But then you got to think about it. It's one of those things that no matter how protected you are or how prepared you are, there's always going to be something that could be a curveball that's thrown at you.
Right.
But ultimately, how much harm am I doing to my kids if I don't allow them to experience certain things versus letting them have a little more freedom in the constraints of certain more safe environments. Like today, I was alone with all three kids at this, well, alone as far as you weren't there, mm-hmm. with all three kids at this park, and they wanted to go do three separate things. So we were in a central area of this park, and I said, sure, you do this, you do that. And I was just kind of, I would do a rotation, and I would look around, and every once in a while, I'd lose track of one of them, and I'd just keep an eye out for them, and they're back again. But I'm also very aware of my surroundings, mm-hmm. so it's, you know, and...
But you're also teaching them to be right. at the same time as you...
Right.
When you're teaching them, hey, look for me every few minutes. Make yep. sure, you know, everything's okay.
Yep.
Check in with me. You're baby... You're doing exactly what I go on to say later. You are... starting young and baby stepping them into responsibility right. as you should, because what happens a lot that I'm seeing is nobody's taking the time to baby step them into it. Right. They're completely coddled and monitored 24/7 until they're 18 and they're turned loose on the world and they can't find their home on a map.
Right.
They can't put two thoughts together.
Or they always expect somebody to
come to their rescue and watch out for them.
And so when that doesn't happen, it really baffles them. And granted, there's, you know, I'm not trying to like stereotype millennials or anything like that, because every generation has mm-hmm. this. And that's something that really, so that's something that's bothered me a lot recently, is especially in this particular city, when Bernie was still a quote unquote viable candidate. Oh, millennials just want everything for free, and they just want this, and blah, 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 and they're just doing all this stuff. It's like, well, no, you're making a grandiose assumption there. Granted, yes, there are those in that generation that do exist that think they should get a handout, but they're being raised by the people that were in the previous generation that existed that think they should be getting a handout, that were raised by people in the previous generation that think they should be getting a handout, and if this whole thing kind of shit, this shit rolls downhill.
Yeah.
So it's not like these people have never existed before. Once again, there's just a lot more exposure, yeah. and it's a lot easier to find them.
I felt really like I should respond, and I will have you know, I stopped.
Yeah,
I didn't drop down to a level that I felt uncomfortable with. But she responded back after one of my other friends comes on and says, "It's actually safer time, statistically speaking, and we're just seeing more of it." And right. you know, like I worry too, but you know, kind of thing. Very eloquently stated. But then she jumps on, and this is when I'm like, oh, this lady's just crazy. Never mind. Safer time? It seems like this is the worst time when Satan's demons are everywhere. I got scared just going to sleep and letting my daughter sleep in her own room. I have to pray almost every night because I'm scared for her. If anything ever happens to them, you can't get them back and you'll never forgive yourself. In fact, she is never allowed to walk by herself down the road, even if she's 30. There's grown men. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. This is not... There's grown men and women who are abducted in parks or just walking down the road.
But to that I say, how are you going, as a grown man and or woman, going to stop that? If that's the argument you're going to use, how are you going to stop somebody else from abducting her while you're walking with her at 30 years old?
Right.
How are you? So this is where... And I'm going to try not to dive down a rabbit hole like I do from time to time. But this is where religion and I start to really spear into two separate directions. Being raised the way that I was, it was a very good versus evil, heaven and hell, Satan and demons, and angels and God, and this and that, and there's this whole spiritual warfare going on around us at all times, and if somebody's acting crazy, it's probably because the demons attach themselves to them, and you need to cast it out, and blah, 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 blah. And that warps your worldview, especially as a child,
mm-hmm.
because you're worrying about stuff that doesn't, from my point of view and opinion, doesn't even fucking exist, and it's a whole other level of paranoia that you just shouldn't have to have as a kid. And what it really does for me, or what it shows for me, is that people would much rather blame an invisible entity for all the evil that goes on in this world than admit that there could be somebody out there that, for whatever reasons this person has, could be horrific enough to do things like kill two beautiful, bright, up-and-coming, in their community, teenage girls, and then burying them under the cement patio in their backyard that he put his hot tub on. That happened here about 10 years ago in Oregon. Nobody wants to admit that a person could be that vile or that horrendous, because it's that takes away the difference between us and the animals. I think that's my opinion, is that seems to remove that we see ourselves as a race as so far advanced and above apes or tigers or whatever, that we would never be so vile as to do these things, because we've been taught morality, and morality was taught to us by religion and blah 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 blah. But realistically, it's scarier for somebody to not be able to have an it or a thing to blame for all of the bad crap that happens, and it's harder for the human brain to process that. So this theory of, well, there is this one big major evil person that's conducting all the evil in the world, and I've got to put on, no shit, my prayer armor every day, my prayer warrior armor every day, and I've got to do my shield of this, and I don't remember all the names of them, but the Bible had its name, and there's the shield of blah blah blah, and the helmet of truth or understanding, and this and that. And as a prayer warrior, you've got to go out into the world and be ready to, you know, do this and do that and blah 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 blah, and attack these invisible things. And it's like, holy shit, we're playing D&D, but on a, when a D&D player is going to look at you and go, that's fucked up, I can't even fantasize about that. You gotta go, what is wrong with what I'm believing in right now? And I apologize for shitting on people's beliefs, but people are fucked up. And there are probably decent scientific reasons for being that fucked up, like mental health and chemical imbalance. So get this, it's been proven that chemical imbalances can cause the mental health stuff, and that's what, there's all these drugs to help alter moods, and it's still a very, in my opinion, a very infantile thing.
Yeah.
But we're learning a lot about it, and we're learning how to take care of it. And I was raised to believe, though, of course, if you had a spirit attached to you, you'd have a chemical imbalance as well. So there are so many things I can read into that. I've got high blood pressure now. Is that the demon on my back sitting there fucking trying to kill me?
Clearly, that is a cholesterol demon. But you need to pray more.
But seriously, I mean, that's the kind of crazy that it breeds.
I know.
And it's...
The religion I was raised in was not as into the prayer healing, but there was a certain air of, if you are struggling in some way, that it's because you're not praying hard enough. You're not working hard enough. You're not worshiping hard enough.
That's the other thing that really pisses me off, is that I am made to feel like I have done something to anger this fatherish figure that I'm supposed to be, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you start harping on yourself. So, yeah, I got really, you know, I got really turned on by, and this is the teenage me speaking, not me speaking now, so I'm just going to put that out there, by so-and-so in a class yesterday. Yeah. So I rubbed one out to her, the thought of her, you know, but
that's
obviously
why you have the flu.
But now I've got the flu, so God saw me yanking it, and so now he smote me with the flu, and I should, this stomach virus should prove to me that I should never put my dick in my hands and pull on it anymore and spray my seed everywhere, because there's actually a fucking biblical verse that says it is worse to spill your seed upon the ground than it is to put it into a whore, basically. I'm like, wait, so as a teenager I should be paying
prostitutes
is better than me just jerking it into a sock. But then there's the sex ed classes that are telling me that if I do that, my dick might fall off from the shit. And you're just in this conundrum of, what in the actual fuck do I do? Like, I need to release this, but if I release it, I've like killed all my little babies. But if I don't,
your spirit babies,
just, you know. And so that's part of the reason why my sense of humor has twisted so much as it has, is because I've gotten to the point where there is so much idiocracy in every aspect of our lives and things that we do that nothing to me is sacred, because all of it is fucked up and weird in some sort certain way. Like, I had a shirt that I wanted to buy so bad, but I literally could, it was the one shirt that I've ever encountered in my life that I could not find a decent way that I could wear it, and I sure as hell couldn't wear it with my kids around me. And it said, millions of my illegitimate children died on your daughter's face last night. I found it fucking hysterical. I laughed my ass off when I read that shirt. But I'm thinking about it, and I'm thinking about all the different ways it's going to get me into a fight. And I didn't need that kind of drama in my life. So I really wanted to get that shirt.
Firstly, from me, because I...
No, this is before you and I were together and whatnot. But it was just one of... Then I started thinking about it, and then, you know, walking around with Ezra and. But I still found that hysterical, because if you think about it, that kind of is the way that it is. But at the same time, it's like, well, but if I unload inside the woman and they don't make it, then millions of my illegitimate children still... But there's that whole mentality, because you're doing it in... So if I'm married to somebody and I'm humping it out with my wife and I do these things and I put the sperm where it's supposed to go, it's okay if none of them make it and they all die. But if I dump it into a sock because I couldn't wait to, you know, till she was home or whatever, I needed to rub one out, that is a horrendous way for them to go. Huh? And so that's the part about these things about religion and whatnot, but it really started to get me twisted up, because so many people take it at face value and the words for how they're written, and not, there's no wiggle room. There's no chance that somebody, like, you know, wrote it down wrong or anything like that. And so you get those level of crazy people, and they're hard to deal with. They're hard to deal with when they're judging you all the time. They're hard to deal with when they're, you know, they're telling you all the ways that you're a horrible parent and this and that. And then, you know, one of the things that I've had to come to grapple with as a parent is that I don't do everything the way my mom and dad did, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. And that I make certain, you know, like, there's people out there that say that screen time at all is bad.
Right.
It's like, okay, but my kid's going to be able to be a computer whiz. Basically, my kid will be able to operate the same better than your kid. My kid's going to be the one telling your kid what floor needs to be swept. How's that? You know, it's just, there's that whole thing. So it's like, I don't get the need to judge everybody else in that manner, that hard, that much. Outside of, once again, I go back to that there are core things that we all, as a race, can believe, or as a species, believe are not okay, unless religion gets involved. Like, putting a baby's dick in somebody's mouth, that's not good. That's not okay, unless you're a rabbi. What is that all about? You know, because this person is supposed to be so saintly and okay that it's okay that they're not having any untoward. And I'm not trying to say that there's rabbis out there that are like getting off at the fact that they're sucking on a baby's dick, right? But you're taking that at face value. This person has been ordained, or what's the word? Is there a specific term in Judaism for what? Like, I don't know if they have like a.
I don't know if it's ordained.
Ordained is that. There's whatever. This person's been appointed in this position of the spiritual power type stuff. And because of that, there's no way they could ever have these untoward thoughts about children. Therefore, it's not happening. But the Catholic...
How do we get back on this?
The Catholic debacle.
I may have had too many beers, but I don't. Because, I'm not tracking.
Because of the fact that she went off about the crazy demons that caused the world's problems, and how people.
I was just trying to point out how silly she was.
She is very silly, but it's because of something that we have set up to in our society, that if you believe this side of it, you're totally okay and cool. But if you believe this side of it, there's something wrong with you. Yet, I bet you talk to this side of it, and none of them have put a baby's dick in their mouth. So I'm going to go with people that have kept baby dicks out of their mouth over the ones that have. Call me crazy. Call me stupid. But if you've kept the child's penis out of your mouth, I think you're well far and above anybody that has ever put one in their mouth. I'm just going to put it out there, okay? I'm sorry, but I don't. And so that's,
I'm broken. I want to go home.
So it's just that whole thing. But it's that level of trust. So go back to her thing about kids getting dismembered and captured, right? And whatever, right? And she's talking about praying. how much did those prayers help when those altar boys were being fucked by those priests?
Okay, once again,
I'm bringing up a valid point. If you wanted to take the argument from that, see, that's where I would go in that argument. And I go Captain Flame Arms and I burn the bridge down. I'm like, and what were your thoughts and motherfucking prayers doing to help out that little boy that was being butt fucked by that priest and was told that if you talk about this.
Her argument is that that's not her faith. I'm sure.
But then again, that leads into this whole fucked up thing that, so you're saying that the oldest fucking religion known to man.
Is the oldest.
Well, it's one of the oldest as far as established longevity, okay. Still being practiced, yada, yada, yada. Been around a lot longer than the Foursquare portion of it and Pentecostal and all that. So I don't buy into that my religion is better than your religion because they all have the same thing of good versus evil and it's this whole thing. And so I want to know, where was God when these guys were doing these things to these altar boys and it was being allowed to go on for decades? What did that kid do that was so fucking horrendous that it deserved somebody who was supposed to be in a place of power and was supposed to be herding this flock and taking care of these people to let that happen? Like, what does that kid have to think then? Where did I go wrong? What did I do wrong? Why did I do that? Like, when I punched Jimmy in the nose yesterday, was that worth me getting a dick in my ass?
Back down to even more realistic level. So this lady prays every night because that right. Her kid will be okay. So what happens when something does still happen to her kid?
Yeah, what does that do to your faith? What does that do to everything you've based your life upon? When you've had all these prayers, and I know because I've been there. I've been at this, like, I rock fucking bottom in as far as what I've achieved for rock bottom in my life is concerned when the divorce and everything mm-hmm. occurred. Where did I go so wrong that this happened? Did I not pray enough? Did I pray for the wrong things and now I'm being punished? When I asked, can I please find a way to be able to fix my flat tire so I can make it to work tomorrow, was that asking too much and now he's taking my family away from me? That's all shit that rolled through my head when this happened. And that really fucks with a person and creates this whole conundrum that you really have to work with and work through and deal with. So, yeah, I agree. What is she going to do when her thoughts and prayers are no longer enough and something happens to her kid or grandkid? How is she going to explain it then? That's my question. Right. How are you going to explain it then? What is it then? Well, then that gets into the whole, well, I'm going through a test right now to prove my faith.
There's always something. Faith is there's being, always yeah. a comeback.
And so that's
we argue about religion way too much on our show.
But I think it raises a valid point of that if you're only exposing your children to one very narrow viewpoint of the world, whether that be a religious viewpoint, whether it be a point of that only white lives matter and we should not do the black lives matter or only police lives matter and anybody that goes against them deserves to be shot. When you have the fucking blinders on and you've only got a narrow view scope of the world, you are harming your child. You are doing them a disservice. Now, does that mean they can't figure it out on their own? Of course not. But you're not giving them all the possible different things it can do. And yeah, I do harp on religion a lot because I had a very narrow scope of the world for a very long time in my life due to a religion that I was a part of. And there is some bias about that and there is some whatever. And I will never ever judge somebody for following that, but I will have issues with it. And that is okay because I am a person and I'm allowed to have that opinion. Just as much as you're allowed to have an opinion that I'm probably off my fucking rocker for thinking and or saying the things that I said in this episode, like, you know, a Catholic priest's dick in a kid's butt or, you know, a rabbi sucking off a child, right? You can think that about me. That's your opinion. But the bottom line is, I don't think you're doing any favors to your child by narrowing their worldview so much that they can only see black or white. And I don't mean a racial black or white, but I just mean right or wrong. And this is coming from a person who's had a very black or white viewpoint in their life for a very long time because of how I was raised and what I was put through. And I'm coming to the point now where I'm finding a lot more fucking gray than I'm comfortable with. And it's something that I have to work through and deal with on a daily goddamn basis. And I think that in some ways it would have been better to have had a different methodology for viewing these things so that I could have a little more comfort with the fact that shit's just weird. Like, best way I heard it put in this whole, let's take the Black Lives Matter movement thing, for example, is this guy was talking about, there's the Black Lives Matter folks and then the All Lives Matter folks.
Right.
And he says, of course, all lives matter. The focus is on the Black lives for now because they're the ones that are being systematically murdered. Just as much as the Jews were being systematically murdered and exterminated back when Hitler was in power. So at that point in time, so what if somebody put out their hashtag Jew Lives Matter? Because the Holocaust happened. I mean, what kind of an uproar would that cause, right? Or let's say that somebody was trying to get the movement hashtag Jew Lives Matter and then hashtag no, all lives matter. I know the Jews went through a really bad thing with the Holocaust and it's really sucky that 6 million of them died, but we have to admit that everybody matters and we should all be this, blah, blah, blah. And so it's that viewpoint that fucks everybody up instead of going, hey, we're all important, but right now it's this particular person and our group of people that needs help. Let's help them get out of the situation. And then let's move on and fix the next problem. Instead of pointing out all the ways that they're doing it wrong, when you have no basis for understanding how or what they're going through, I know as a white person, I walk down the street worrying about a lot less shit than friends of mine do. Mm-hmm. Due to the fact that I am white and they are not. I have been stopped with an African-American person in my car and asked, sir, are you okay? Why? Because I got a black kid in the back seat. It's a white boy and a black dude. And yeah, of course, he's probably back there with a gun forcing me to drive somewhere. That's real awesome. That's the first thought you have in your head. You racist fuck. Right? But that's what we experience. And we're not, as a societal whole, working on these ways to, how can we help this group of people out of the spot? Whether or not they've put themselves there, whether or not the white person has put them there or whatever, they're there now. And this problem will never go away if we don't fix it. But fixing it does not mean leaving them to their own devices and not ever offering help. And I think that's the same thing for these moms and whatnot. Why are we wasting so much time on all the different ways that somebody could fuck up and leave their kid alone? Why not? If I find a child alone, I'm going to help them find their parents.
Yeah.
I'm going to help them get to safety. When a guy is frantic and losing his shit because his kid is missing in a hotel in the middle of downtown Seattle, why did I even split second judge him? Why didn't I just dive right into, let's find this kid and get him safe? Because it's ingrained into us for so long, and we're hitting it every day, that's not what you do. You judge the person. And I'm guilty of it. I'm the first. I'm going to admit I've done it in my past. I've done it before on this show. So you're seeing a progression as this show goes along of Justin and his thought process and what goes on. And you may or may not like the things I have to say. And it might be a bumpy ride as I go through this. But it's all stuff that is real and true to the life that I'm leading right now with you as parents, with our children. And so that's why I bring it up on the show. It might be uncomfortable for some. It might piss some off, but I bring it up because it's what we're going through. It's what we're experiencing. And it's what I'm constantly thinking about and trying to figure out. And I'm always looking for ways, like, am I fucking my kid over by doing this for them? Am I really doing a benefit? Is this a net positive or is this a net negative? And I have to look, it's something you have to realistically look at. And it's going to involve some very uncomfortable topics at times. So if you were looking for a happy ending to the show, let's hope that our listener voicemail can get us there.
Please, God, Nikki, no. Save us. Yeah. Save me.
Yeah.
Please.
It is what it is. I mean, it's one of those things that not trying to toot my own horn or whatnot, but I'm willing at times to talk about these weird things that a lot of people just don't want to deal with. And I get that it's going to probably either piss some people off or turn them against me or whatever. And that's fine. It is what it is, but I know that I'm raising three very intelligent, sometimes too intelligent, too smart for their own fucking good, kids that are going to be critical thinkers, which is the one thing my parents, not the one thing, but it's one of the many things my parents did right by me, was to teach me critical thinking, much to the chagrin of them sometimes, because I'm such a critical thinker that I go against them in a lot of areas, because of what I've come up with based off of what I've done on my research, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm hoping that I'm giving these kids the tools they need to live their lives in such a manner that they can be good people, be stewards to their friends and whatnot, and aren't going to be neurotic messes that are worried if some sky god's going to smite them for needing to get his nuts emptied that night. Shit that I've been through. I mean, you know, so sorry if that's hard to listen to. But yes, we do have a listener voicemail. It is Nikki from New Zealand. And let's, Jamie's coughs. Let's see what she has to say. We can do this here.
If you wouldn't anger the gods, God.
Right? Yeah, I pissed God off again. That's why my phone's not playing right now.
Yep.
Okay, first of all, I am so glad I am not the only person that gets into such hysterics while laughing. Seriously, Jody, I do that too. I start hyperventilating. I've even thrown up before.
Me too.
Because I have just laughed so much that I just can't breathe anymore.
I give myself
and an have somehow attack. Managed to throw up. But yes, I'm so glad I'm not the only one that happens to. The next message is not so much for you guys, but more for America. You need to sort your fucking toilets out. I have never, ever, ever, ever known anyone in New Zealand, including myself, that has blocked a toilet in New Zealand. However, I have managed to block a toilet in America before, because you're water levels are fucked up for some reason. I managed to block it up so well while I was in a hotel that they made us change rooms. So, yeah. Go America! Get real fucking plumbing! Alright, love you guys. Bye.
So, way to save the show. Thank you so much. So let's talk about some fucking toilets.
So there's multiple levels to that there. I think that's probably the first time I've heard a girl publicly admit that I just lamb blasted the toilet so fucking hard that it couldn't go down. Even the hotel maintenance staff was like, damn! And they had to move me to a different room. That takes skill and talent and a whole lot of no shame, and I love it. Secondly, I would agree with you.
We need to travel to New Zealand to see these magical toilets. That's why we have to do a scientific study.
I do need to do some scientific study. I need to go over there and then, you know, just get in my regular dietary habits and then just go load up on that toilet and see what happens.
I'm totally going to be honest for a second. I'm going to be real for a second. I actually looked into what it would take to immigrate to New Zealand. I signed up for a newsletter and everything. Because I just don't want...
Just in case Trump is the sign of the...
I'm so very nervous.
Well, just in case Trump and or Hillary are the signs of the coming apocalypse, right? I really don't want to harp on one or the other because we're equally displeased with both. But so I agree. But for me, it's a much different problem. It's not so much the plugging of the toilets as much as it is I don't want a ball wash every time I sit down to take a
shit. Your problem with our toilets is the water height.
And so,
Ezra's problem with toilets is that he blocks everyone he's ever fucking met.
Right. And I had that same record when I was a kid too. So I'm there. And then especially those new low flow bastards.
But I can't tell. Is this a volume issue or is this a turd size issue?
Yes.
Okay.
I've had it from
all
angles.
That's all I needed to know.
I've had it from all angles.
So. I don't need to know anymore. I'm good. I'm done. I'm good. Thanks.
And also I can say yes for Ezra as well, because having unblocked some of his blockages, I've seen all that there is to see about that and what it is. And so I know that it's both. So... Yeah, but no, really, it does come, you know, I don't know why our toilets suck as bad as they do. I just know that the water level, that meme, taxes are too damn high. Well, in this case, the water level on the toilet is too damn high, because I will remember a hotel specifically on, did I happen to dip my nuts this time I sat down in this room? Because there'll be hotels I sit down, I'm like, God damn it. I'll finish my business, get up, and immediately jump in the shower. I'm like Macbeth, out damn spot. I'm like, scrub, scrub, scrub. There's not enough soap in the world, right? So I do know which hotels happen to have the good toilets that aren't sitting there trying to just wash your ass and ball sack in toilet water. And, yeah. You get to pee again? All the stock of toilets, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently.
At this point in time, I probably wish we would have had a sounder for this this exit, huh?
Can we just close the show? We're going to close the show.
We are part of the podcast collective, and because Jody has to pee so bad tonight, I'm not going to try to go through all the shows. Also, if you
lots of good shows. Go listen to the good shows.
If you want to contact us, you can email us at
ground. What?
I almost said contact.
Oh, okay.
It's a different
email. I thought you almost said
no.
Something else.
Grounded
Country
at
Dolphin.
No, yeah. I should set up Cunty Dolphins. I might have to set it up as an email address and they get forward. That'd be kind of funny. But you can email us at grounded@badparentingpodcast.com. Now, I'm going to say this and it's going to be legit. We are available on MySpace, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can search for a Bad Parenting Podcast on any of those social media platforms and you're going to find us. You can email Jody or myself directly just by using our first name at badparentingpodcast.com.
My name's with an I, by the way, if you didn't know that.
Yes. Please leave us a voicemail, 503-609-0375, or do like Nikki and some of our other great listeners have done, and use that wonderful voice recording app on your cell phone to get that handled. And then you can also support us by buying merch. In fact, I'm wearing a t-shirt today that's got our logo on it. Buy some merch. It would help the show out. We're looking at some equipment upgrades that we just don't have the funds for right now and really like to have the funds to get said upgrades done. So merch would always be a beneficial thing.
And I just found a pair of shoes online that I really have to have.
Right. Yeah. So, we could fund that as well. No, seriously, anything that comes from merch and whatnot goes right back into the show. We don't put it elsewhere. In fact, in theory, with as much money as I've dumped into this show, I could technically have a tab that I owe myself, but I don't.
Well, so. I was going to say, though, we haven't really sold that much merch.
We haven't, no.
So,
no.
We haven't made any.
No, and I'm, but once again.
I'm not saying that to guilt people.
Right,
okay, totally saying that to guilt people, but I'm just saying, money we receive was going straight to the show. We've never
received any money. No, but on the flip side of that, too, I've been historically bad at promoting merch at the end of the show, which is why we need the sounder.
Yes.
So if you just go to our website, there is a merch tab there. You can click on it. You can buy merch. We've got everything.
Don't make me look for sponsors, people. Don't make me do it.
Yeah, I don't want to be over here talking about tasty cakes or anything like that. That's could you imagine that? Bad Parenting Podcast sponsored by Pampers. Listen to Justin rant about religion and rabbis with dicks in their mouths. Pampers. Best wipes for your kid's ass. And they get that spit off the dick. Boom. Right there. Create an advertising campaign for them.
Oh, God.
Right?
All right. Good night. I got to pee.
So,
let's go.
Obviously, I don't think Jody has anything else to add here.
I don't. I got to pee.
All right. Until next time. Oh, wait. So there was also this other. No, I'm kidding. Until next time, try not to be shitty parents.
Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Bad Parenting Podcast, a conversational show about all aspects of parenting, the good, the bad, and the smelly.
Deep in prayer, my cross to bear, I kneel upon the floor. Temptations of a Catholic priest aren't easy to ignore. But I cannot control myself. It rips my soul apart. For one small sheep among my flock has stole the shepherd's heart. Altar boy, altar boy, confess your sins to me. You will find the grace of God inside my rectory. At Sunday mass or Bible class, I catch him in my view. So I close my eyes, but there he lies, spread eagle on the pew. And when I see him in that frock, my conscience goes awry. I'll give him some communion wine that's spiked with Spanish fly. Altar boy, is it gonna be heaven or hell? Can play my organ all night long. never to tell. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I could dress him up like the Pope and then I'd, oh dear God, the shame. No, 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 lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from sin. We could pretend that he was Jesus Christ and I was Mary Magdalene. Altar boy, altar boy, confess your sins to me. You will find the grace of God inside my rectory. Oh, altar boy, oh, altar boy, confess your sins to me. You will find the grace of God inside my wreck.
Here it goes.